Shut up and sit down.
You're listening to The Bridge, keeping you connected with all things sports. Here's your host, John Lund.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to The Bridge, keeping you connected with all things sports. I'm your host, John Lund, and I'm incredibly excited to be bringing to you this brand new podcast about all things sports and whatever else I may happen to have up my sleeve. Like that little mix there, which is part of the title track for The Bridge, courtesy of the royalty-free music found at bensound.com. This track title is Actionable, and that's not to be confused with the Blink-182 track from back in the early 2000s called Action, which was, of course, later changed to Feeling This. You may be more familiar with that title track. It was also on the Madden 2004 soundtrack, a very nice soundtrack for you to check out in your spare time. You won't be hearing many well-known songs on this podcast, nor will you on most podcasts that are run by just simpletons, because we don't have the music copyrights that are needed to play those tunes, much like you would find on the Four Letter Network or other outlets that also have podcasts. I unfortunately must go the copyright-free route, which is fine by me. Now, you guys are probably thinking, what are we going to find on this sports podcast? I mean, how many people have tried to do this and have succeeded and have failed? The things that they've done in the past for a sports podcast may not be as good or maybe much better than what you're going to hear now, but we're going to try our best here. And hopefully I can bring you some good, reasonably paced content each week. I'm hoping to release a new podcast each Sunday or maybe as early as Saturday. So each weekend, try to give you guys what's been going on most recently in the sports world as far as the breaking news stories, as well as topics that I think warrant some more talk and some more discussion, whether that just be with me or with guests I might bring onto the show. There's a lot of friends and acquaintances that I have that are also huge sports fans that I could bring on here via Skype or other outlets, perhaps sitting right next to me, and they can whisper in my ear sweet nothings regarding some different sports ideas and discussions that they would like to bring to the table as well. Once I figure out how to do that, that will obviously be something that is brought to the show. But for now, you're just going to have to deal with me, as this is the intro podcast to The Bridge, episode one, if you will. And in this beginning episode, I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of background information on myself, some of the things that got me involved with sports, some of the things that you can expect to hear as we take off on this journey, and some of the things that we may be talking about in the future. So for those of you that are interested in a little bit background information on myself, currently a quarter century old, and my current position is actually in sports media. I am the sports editor for the prestigious Wyoming County Press Examiner newspaper, found in beautiful, rustic country like Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania. I don't know if any of you have actually ventured to Tunkhannock, besides perhaps my parents or close loved ones who are listening to this podcast. Well, at least hopefully they are. But we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I'd like to, I guess, start way back in the beginning with how I really got involved with sports and liking sports and having an interest in the sports world. So I think almost every sports fan can kind of pinpoint when they really got involved with their favorite sport and with their favorite team for that sport. My story starts way back in the mid-90s when I started getting involved watching baseball. My father has long been a Yankees fan, and eventually he started having me watch some games with him. My cousin, who was 3 years older than me, also was a huge Yankees fan, so I watched games with him as well. And eventually I got more involved with the game of baseball and really started to like the Yankees. I also happen to like the Atlanta Braves, but only because they had a really awesome chant. We all remember the glowing tomahawks at their home games and the oh. Why they don't really get in trouble for doing that in today's day and age is kind of beyond me, but that's for another day. However, I did enjoy that chant, and I actually had to pick who I was going to root for in the 1996 World Series since it was the Yankees pitted against those Atlanta Braves. But my heart was with the Yankees, my father being such a huge fan. That year was also the first time I attended a Yankees game, and we ended up sitting in the luxury box right behind home plate. I went with my father and my cousin and my uncle, and it was an amazing game. I'm probably never going to experience a game like that again. So what a great way to have your first taste of a Yankees game than sitting in the luxury box at 5 years old watching them play. It was amazing. So that really spiked my interest, as you can imagine. And the Yankees ended up winning the World Series that year. I was a little bit more interested in playing with my Super Nintendo since the last game of the World Series fell when I was celebrating my 6th birthday. And as a young kid, I much rather play Star Fox than watch the Yankees game, but I might make that a little bit of a change now in today's world, but you never know. Star Fox was a great game. Along with being a Yankees fan, I am also an avid Lakers fan. I originally liked the Chicago Bulls when I got into the NBA and fell in love with Michael Jordan, as did most youths. Everyone wanted to be like Mike, as we know. But when he left the Bulls, I realized I wasn't really that big of a Bulls fan. I just really loved Michael Jordan. And then I went over to be a fan of the Lakers, mostly because of Shaquille O'Neal, not so much of Kobe Bryant, at least early on. That changed as time wore on, obviously. But in the beginning, it was because of Shaquille O'Neal that I became a Lakers fan. As far as the NFL is concerned, I started getting involved watching football in the late 90s and went with the team that was really hot at the time, which happened to be the Denver Broncos, who ended up winning the Super Bowl that year over Brett Favre and the Green Bay Packers. And John Elway won his second Super Bowl of his career the following year after that, so I was hooked on Denver. In college basketball, it was much of the same. In the late 90s, I started getting more involved watching that sport and fell in love with Mike Krzyzewski's Duke team, and they eventually went on a couple years later to win the national championship in 2001, so I thought I had made the right choice. Looking back now, it's funny to see that at least three of my favorite teams are also three of the most hated teams in all of sports, of their respective sports. The Yankees being hated by the majority of baseball lovers, the same for the Lakers, and definitely the same for Duke in college basketball. If you're not a Duke fan, you just hate Duke. Denver's kind of come under some scrutiny in the past couple years because of Peyton Manning being their starting quarterback, but before that, there really wasn't much chatter as far as people hating Denver. A lot of people ask me why, growing up in northeastern Pennsylvania, that I don't root for any Philadelphia sports teams. Like, oh, they're in your state. How come you don't root for the Phillies? How come you don't root for the Eagles? I mean, I don't know. When I was real young, I was under the impression that you should be rooting for winning teams. And as we know, the Phillies hadn't won in my lifetime until 2008, and the Eagles still haven't won yet in my lifetime, and nobody in my family was huge fans of either. They were more New York Giants fans on the football side of things, and as I mentioned, Yankees fans for baseball, so I didn't really have any interest to root for those teams, and I'm incredibly happy that I didn't. So people like to rip on you when you live in Pennsylvania and you don't root for the local teams, but why would you want to do that to yourself? As far as my playing career is concerned, I actually suffered a pretty major arm injury in Little League, but when my tendons and bones healed, it allowed me to throw a baseball around 100 miles an hour. And lo and behold, the Chicago Cubs ended up signing me to a contract, and before you know it, I had made the big leagues. Oh, wait a minute, that's Rookie of the Year. My bad. My apologies. I never did make it to the big leagues. I actually like to tell people that I peaked in Little League, because my team won two straight league titles. And my final year of a little league, I don't think our team lost more than two games that season. So it was really a team of destiny, if you want to look at it that way. And the team in general, I think, won four or five straight league titles. So what can I say? I was a pitcher and first baseman in Little League and continued that onto high school. And for those of you that may be worried about my arm and whether or not I needed Tommy John surgery, fear not. I never had to go under the knife with Dr. James Andrews, mainly because I didn't really start throwing a curveball until junior year of high school and threw more of a 12-6 curveball than one of the more slurvy types that puts a strain on the arm muscles. So we're okay. Humorously enough, I did end up suffering a torn ACL after playing high school baseball in that summer before college while playing in the outfield during a Legion baseball game. Needless to say, I probably shouldn't have been out in the outfield, but things happen. And along with baseball, I also played basketball up until high school. I currently stand at 6'7", so I was around 6'4", 6'5", in high school. So I had the height to play, but there was just some part of me that really enjoyed shooting threes. So in my senior year, when my high school combined with the rival high school in the area, which actually is home to the former Syracuse Star and Scranton native Jerry McNamara, when I got into the game, it was a lot more fun to shoot three-pointers, and I don't think I was half bad at it. So I'll definitely be able to give some more intensive knowledge when it comes to baseball or basketball because I have played both of those sports in the past, though not at the collegiate or professional level. I still like to think I know a thing or two about both sports, which isn't to say I don't know anything about football. But when it comes to the X's and O's and the play calling and those aspects of the game, it just goes right over my head. If John Gruden ever sat me down and tried to draw a play on the board, we'd be there all night. So I guess that brings us to college. And I decided to stay local and attend the prestigious University of Scranton in the heart of renowned Scranton, Pennsylvania. You may be familiar with Scranton because of the television program The Office. If you were thinking that the show was in any way like the actual city, unfortunately you are quite mistaken. So getting ready to decide what I wanted to do for a possible career or major was a pretty difficult decision. I don't really think high school does as well of a job as it could as getting students prepared for that next step in life based on the classes and electives that are usually offered across the board. If you don't really have a passion for something that's offered, it's kind of difficult to decide what direction you want to go in. Before I entered college, I was thinking of being an English teacher or perhaps a history teacher. Those were two of my favorite subjects in high school and might have been something that would interest me in college. But after deciding to declare as an English major to pursue some sort of teaching degree or where that might lead, I decided to change my mind and declare for the major of communication. So deciding to be a communication major was the first step in my journey of college. But really, the communication major as a whole at the University of Scranton, or as I'll probably reference it to the locals, it's referred to as DU, even though we have no association with the actual DU, which is the University of Miami. Throw up the U's for all of you that know what I'm talking about. The communication degree consisted of six core classes and then your choice on which side of communication you would like to pursue, public relations or journalism or broadcasting or advertising. I took the journalism route, which only consisted of having to take three classes in order to do enough to earn that degree or track. So I double-tracked in journalism and broadcasting because what's three more classes? I minored in history, and I also minored in coaching, which was 6 more credits, and got rid of my gym elective credits, which means I wasn't able to participate in such sports as tennis or basketball or weightlifting or line dancing or whatever else you could do to fill those requirements. So early on, you take intro to writing and some public speaking classes, and you start getting a feel on what journalism is about. And luckily for me, there were a couple professors at the U that were very good in what they did and were very knowledgeable in those fields. And that really got me interested and sparked my love for writing and wanting to pursue that more. As a freshman, I got involved with the school newspaper, the Aquinas. Unfortunately, I never won any Pulitzers, but it was a good way to get started with sports and covering college athletics, even though it was at the Division III level and not more famous in the D1 realm. So I did some writing for the first couple years, and then in junior year, I took over as co-sports editor for the newspaper. And by doing that, you were given more responsibility and kind of got a better idea how a newspaper ran as a whole. And my job as the co-editor was more on the editing side of stories, and the person I shared the job with did more of the paginating part of things and laying the paper out visually for how it would look come Thursday. So between the two of us, we put out a pretty good product, and it was a really good way to kind of see how the newspaper side of things really worked in journalism. And by getting that foot in the door early, when I took a sports writing class offered at the university, it was pretty easy because I had already done most of the things that we were learning in class until it came time to actually learn some new things, which didn't come until the end of the class. Then on top of writing for the newspaper, toward the end of freshman year, I decided to get into the radio station at the university, the prestigious 99.5 WUSR Scranton, which was broadcast locally, so if you were driving around the area, you could listen to it in your car. And it was actually one of the higher stations as far as college stations are concerned. Usually those are given the low frequencies of your radio, like the 91s or the 92s, but we were high up there in the 99. That doesn't necessarily mean we were always on air and never had problems, because when it rained, it seemed like our station was down every time. And while doing that, I had the idea that I could integrate sports into the radio. So my co-editor and I started a sports talk radio show titled the John and Joe Sports Show. You could probably tell what my co-host's name was. And we did that on air, running about an hour a week, and then eventually to 2 hours when we simulcast the show on both the radio and the school's television network, the Royal Television Network. So we did that in front of the camera and also did it on the air, and it was a great way to get a feel for how that's done in the real world, because many radio shows now are also simulcast on television, and you kind of have to be able to do both to really put forth a successful show. So we were able to get our feet wet with how that went down and how to develop a program that was interesting and also filled the time limits while working with others to really put together a great product. And we did that for 2 years, and it really got me more interested and developed my passion a lot more for sports, particularly when it comes to broadcasting them. So I can't say enough about that experience. Really helps you get comfortable behind the mic or in front of the camera and develop a personality that's a little bit different from how you may act in your typical day-to-day life. On top of that, I also started doing color commentary for the University of Scranton women's basketball team. So I attended mostly all of the home games and did the color for those and developed a relationship with the main anchor, and really got a feel for how a live sports game works and some of the intricacies that go into broadcasting a live sporting event. and how to kind of keep up with the flow of the game and what things are important to tell the listeners because they're not actually viewing the game itself. And that was a great experience to, again, just keep me more involved with the sports media part of the degree and try to develop as much as I possibly could in sports media, getting a feel for the writing aspect of things, the broadcasting aspect of things, and to broaden my horizons with what I would be able to do, hopefully, in the future. So that was a lot of fun, and unfortunately, that came to an end. I graduated from the university in 2012 with a communication degree, and it sits in a frame, a pretty big frame. The degree is in Latin, so it looks very impressive. One day I plan to have a desk and hang that degree above it proudly. So after college, I was out of a job after just recently being let go from the renowned Sam's Club organization. Worked there for about a year and a half as a cashier. And before that, I had worked for 5+ years as a deli slicer and cook and dishwasher and chicken fryer and several other of those types of responsibilities that go into working at a deli. And let me tell you, if you really want to get a better feel for how to be a decent human being, you should definitely work in retail for at least a week in life. I ended up getting a job offer to be the sports editor of where I am now at the Wyoming County Press Examiner. Now, when I first applied for that job, I saw a sports editor and assumed that I would be in charge of several other writers and be going over their work and dictating who should be covering what, and then putting together a product in the newspaper based on my edits and their work. Little did I know that there was nobody else in the sports department. The sports editor position was the sports department. So not only was I writing the articles every week, I was editing the articles and then editing other parts of the paper before deadline hit and the product was put to press. So that was a lot to take on in the beginning without really knowing the area or the sports teams I was covering. So I had to completely go off the cuff in the beginning, developing relationships with coaches, learning who the players were on the teams, figuring out how to properly cover game stories, and then write features about other goings-on that were happening throughout the week. And even though it was only a weekly paper, you still end up doing quite a bit of work considering that you're in charge of the entire sports section. But eventually it became easier, and I really started getting the hang of things. I built a pretty good repertoire with many of the coaches that I covered and with some of the players that were on their teams. And then my company was bought out by the Time Shamrock Communication. And when that change occurred, I was given even more responsibilities. So not only was I doing the editorial, I was now also in charge of the page layout for the paper, which, as I mentioned before, was something I had seen done in college but hadn't really done myself. So I had to learn how to do that on InDesign and get a feel for how the layout of things went on top of doing everything else on the editorial side of things. And even though this job is for a weekly paper and it's a locally owned paper, I've still had the opportunity to be able to write some pretty cool stories on some pretty great individual accomplishments by some people. Just to name a few, some of the stories that are more relatable as far as being, I guess, impressive or more mainstream. I've done a couple stories on a local grad that is actually an assistant coach for the Seattle Seahawks. So I did a couple stories about how he was hired by the Seahawks and what his role was on the team. And then a couple months later, the Seahawks ended up winning the Super Bowl. So I was able to do a story about his experience with that. And then most recently this year, they did get to the Super Bowl again. So it was a great opportunity for me to be able to tell his story about his experiences with the Seahawks. I also did a story on his former high school football teammate who works for the Pac-12 network and does a lot of things involving college football. So I was able to tell his story about some books that he's written in the past and some of the things that he's done as a coach and as a mentor and as a public speaker and just all the things that he's been able to do after his playing career ended. He played in college and coached under Pete Carroll at USC, so he's had quite a life. so far, and it was a great opportunity to tell his story. I also heavily covered a local grad in Mike Pappy, who was playing baseball for the University of Virginia, and if you may remember, they got to the College World Series last summer and was able to document his journey through that. He actually called me for an interview for a story that we were trying to put out before deadline at around 12:30 at night. So sometimes the athletes really help you out when it comes to that sort of thing. He was drafted by the Cleveland Indians as the 38th pick in the Major League Baseball draft and is actually currently now in spring training with them. So it's been great to get to know him and be able to tell his story as well. And there's been a lot of great high school athletes that have actually had some pretty cool accomplishments throughout their playing careers. There's been some district titles and state titles that have been won at my time at the newspaper. One of my stories actually helped one athlete be named one of the top 10 most influential athletes of the year by USA Today. So it's an honor sometimes to get some of the compliments that you do receive from people you've done stories on or people that have read the stories. And that's really what makes you want to come back and do that day in and day out. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of responsibility. But what really makes the job great is getting that recognition from people that are happy that you're able to tell their stories and really make it sound like they're interested in what you have to say. So I do appreciate that, and I'm happy with the opportunity I currently have. There's a ton of people that went to college with me and graduated with the same degree that weren't able to get into the field they wanted to get into. So I've been blessed to be able to be in something that I want to be in, and hopefully it will only go up from here. But along with this job, maybe 6 or so months ago, a friend of mine was busting me for having Sirius Radio in my car and listening to Z100 instead of listening to sports talk radio. And I started listening to, of course, Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio, but then I went over and listened to the newly formed Mad Dog Sports Radio station, a couple stations up, and listened to some of the sports talk radio shows that they put out each day. And you get to hear a lot of sports broadcasters do their shows and their techniques and what they like to lead off their shows with, or some of the things that they like to talk about, and the input that they give back to their callers. And some of the shows take more callers than others, and I tend to like those a little bit more. And eventually I worked up the courage to start calling into these programs and give my input on some of the things they were talking about, and still try to keep active in that radio spectrum of things. And it's really been enjoyable to be able to call into these shows. They really take a lot of phone calls, especially at night, and give you an opportunity to express your opinion. And sometimes you can get a good banter going back and forth with them and kind of add to their show a little bit more than some of the other listeners may do. I don't really like to speak too much on my behalf. I try to leave up the questions a little bit open-ended so they're able to add more input than I give out, because it's their show. It's not mine. That's why I'm doing a podcast right now, so I get to be the one giving my input. But it's been a lot of fun, and my main goal, I guess you could say, is to be one of those callers that they know by name and they look forward to speaking with you and hearing what you have to say about a certain topic. So we're working toward that. But because I kept doing this and giving calls once or twice or three times a week, it got me thinking that maybe I should get involved with this and maybe I should start up a podcast, because why not? It seems like there's so many of them out there today. On top of listening to Sirius, I also started listening to more podcasts given out by ESPN and listening to some of the TV shows that are also on podcasts to really get an idea of how a show should be run and some of the things you should focus on and talk about with the listeners. But before doing so, I wanted to do some research and really see what needed to go into this to make it a successful podcast. And I was kind of shocked to find out it wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. In college, you just sat in front of the mic and you were on air and ready to go. But with a podcast, there's a lot that goes into it. You need to have the right programs on your computer. You need to have the right equipment. Then you need to be able to put it into the right forums for people to hear your podcast. But in college, all that stuff was at our fingertips. We had the best software and the best microphones and really anything you wanted to do, whether it be a radio program or a television show or a PSA or a commercial, it was all there for you to use. And it's been a while since I've used those sort of things. I don't even have a Mac computer, and I'm not going to spend the money that's needed to get those Adobe products that the professionals use, because it's really not necessary if you kind of know what you're doing. So I'm using Audacity as my free software to get this off the ground. I purchased a microphone to do this podcast on after reviewing tons of microphones and listening to the sound quality and which ones sounded better for podcasts and which ones didn't. So I'm working with the Audio-Technica ATR-2100 USB mic, which is probably the second tier, if you will, of microphone, but it still puts out a pretty cool bang for its buck. I wasn't going to spend $300 or $400 on the professional podcast microphones because you're not going to be able to tell the difference. And on top of that, I watch tons of videos about ideas and different ways to produce a podcast and the ins and outs on what you need to do to really put forth a good product. And there is a lot of information to digest. But eventually it was time to put pen to paper and get this off the ground and running. And here's the first shot at that. And hopefully it only gets better from here. So to kind of wrap up what we went over and to review what I hope this show will be, it's basically just a place to come talk sports. And depending on what's going on from week to week, that will be some of the things that I would want to discuss. And hopefully, like I said, we'll discuss with others. As it currently stands, there's a ton going on in many of the major sports outlets. March Madness is upon us, which to me is the greatest sports time of the year. It's basically like Christmas morning for basketball fans. It's going to be exciting. There's going to be upsets. We'll be able to talk about brackets and some of the teams that will be playing in the tournament and some of the favorites. We also just had a slew of football signings happen in football free agency. So I'll talk about which teams made the best moves and which teams made the worst moves and how the divisions are going to be looking as they stand currently. And there's been a lot of shakeup in the league. I don't even remember a time when there were so many signings with such big names, but it's been great for the sport, I think, and we'll have to wait and see what happens once the regular season comes. The NBA is getting closer to the tail end of its season, and Major League Baseball is in the midst of spring training and getting prepared for opening day. So there's a ton that we could talk about with those three major sports. And I'd also like to bring to the table some of the things that I'm currently working on at my position and some things that I may have noticed during a game or some of the people that I might be covering or story ideas that are going on. And there's also a lot of broader topics that I want to talk about in different episodes, whether that involves some of the techniques I use as a journalist or some of the techniques I use while interviewing athletes, as well as talking about some of my hobbies, which include some autographing on the side. I'm a semi-retired karaoke singer. I play some billiards. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we bring to the table, and hopefully you find those topics interesting, and I'm able to shine a better light on some things that happen behind the scenes, whether that involves journalism or broadcasting or those types of things. I hope to keep this podcast around 30 minutes, and as I mentioned, I'd like to bring some more people onto this show to give their input as well, to kind of give a more broader topic and to make the discussion more interesting by hearing another voice. You guys can follow me on Twitter at London Bridge. That's LUNDINBRIDGE. That was also my DJ name at WUSR that was decided upon while listening to Fergie's hit London Bridge. Unfortunately, I can't play that for you because, again, I do not own the copyrights to that title. And unfortunately, Fergie has not returned any of my text messages. So you can follow me on Twitter at London Bridge. You could also go to podbean.com and see more of my podcasts and make some comments about what you thought of the show or what things I should be talking about and give your opinions as well. You can also check out the podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud and tune in there. Thanks again for listening. I really do appreciate you guys putting up with me. I just wanted to give you a little background about myself before we start moving forward with this podcast, so you can learn a little bit about the person behind the mic. I had a lot of fun doing this, and I know it's only going to get better from here. Once again, I'm John Lund. Thanks again for listening to The Bridge, keeping you connected with all things sports.